Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. He is worthy of our worship. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. This morning, we want to talk about faith that stays the course. Faith that stays the course. Jesus asked this question. Will I find faith when I return? What is your answer? Will he find faith, overcoming faith in you? You know, let me talk a little bit before we go on here with about overcoming. About overcoming faith, what overcoming means. It really is. I wish they had come up with a little bit different word, because to me, overcomer doesn't quite catch the essence of what the writers of the New Testament were trying to get across when they used this Greek word, nakao. Because when we think of overcomers, we think of somebody that's under and he's got to get over something. He's got to overcome it. He's got to become victorious over it. A better word would be conqueror, or even the word victorious, because the way this word is used, it says he who is victorious, he already on top. See, that is really the definition of taking dominion. We're not just taking authority and overcoming things. We are in dominion in Christ Jesus, because the Spirit of the living God lives in us. Now, in the book of Revelations, it says 8 times, to him who overcomes, to him who conquers, will this be given. The 7 letters to the churches all end with, he who overcomes shall be given something, something magnificent, something wonderful. You ought to read that sometime. And then in Revelation 21, verse 7, it says, he who overcomes will I give him everything, and he shall be my son, and I will be his God. He who is victorious. We don't want to just overcome coming from below. We want to start in the place of dominion and authority. And I tell you, that's going to happen because of our faith. Okay, we need to have overcoming faith. Let's go on. As the days get worse, as the darkness increases, what will be the cause of us getting lighter, the light becoming brighter? It's our faith. More and more, we have to trust God as things worsen in these ending days, as the days grow darker. Now, we need to grow brighter. Now, you could say that even the smallest light will shine as the darkness gets darker. You know, when you maybe have in your bathroom a little nightlight, it's probably got a 4 or maybe a 7-watt bulb in it. And when the light is on, even if it's one that doesn't automatically shut off, when the light is on, you can see it, but just barely, because the light overwhelms it. But you turn off the light, especially if it's nighttime, and you get quite a glow. But see, that glow in these ending days is not going to be enough. We need to be that 75 or 100 or 150-watt light bulb that overwhelms the darkness. As the darkness gets darker, then we, as we learn to trust God more, in other words, have faith, then we become brighter, and we become brighter. And he is looking for a body of people which have unwavering trust in him and which are not swayed by what is experienced by the 5 senses, by feelings, or by thoughts. Now, I specifically named the title of this Faith That Stays the Course because I was thinking about a road. Faith needs to stay on this road. It needs to stay in the center. And so if it veers off to the right or to the left, it ends up in disaster. So our faith needs to be centered in this road. And as I was thinking about that, I was thinking about how do they make roadways? And it really gave me some interesting insight. For one of the things that they have to do is once it's been planned and once it's been surveyed and all that kind of stuff, then the big earth-moving equipment comes in and the scrapers go to work and they have to scrape off all the topsoil. They take it down like 13 or 14 inches below where they want the roadway to be. They have to scrape all that stuff off. And then what they do is they bring in more dirt, a dirt that can be compacted, about 9 inches of dirt that they bring in to make the base. And you've probably seen the big, huge rollers, 10, 20 tons that they smooth that surface out and they go over it and over it and they wet it down and they go over it and they go over it. Sometimes they even use power tampers to vibrate it and to get that earth solid to make that foundation. Now, in the same way, we have to, in our lives, get down into the Word of God in such a way that it becomes such a part of us that it builds a solid foundation. But even under the foundation of our faith is another foundation, and that is a foundation of God's love. We have to be convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that God loves us. Then the Word becomes another part of that foundation so that we can then lay our faith on that solid rock of His love and of the Word of God. And then our faith becomes a solid road that will stay the course. That will stay the course. So let's talk a little bit about the foundation of faith being God's love. One of the things that Penny and I have been studying a lot lately has been the love of God. Because we realize that the bigger our revelation of God's love, the bigger our understanding of how much God loves us, then what the Word tells us is that fear disappears. Because in perfect love, there is no fear. We have such a trust in God, knowing that He loves us. See, even that, those first three words there, God is love. I mean, that is such a profound statement for us. Do you realize that creation till now and to the end of this world and on through eternity, it's all about you. It's all about each one of us. He created it for us. We are the crown jewel of His creation. He created everything. The firmament, the dry land, the seas, the trees, the animals, all this kind of stuff was created for us. Now, don't tell the tree huggers that, but it was created for us. Now, they would like to see a world where the trees could survive and mankind would be hardly noticeable. Well, maybe they would like to be the ones that's hardly noticeable. Anyway, we won't go there. But we are the apex. We are the apple of His eye, He tells us in Scripture. We are His prized treasure. God loves us. And everything He has done in sending Jesus is for us. It says in the scripture, 1 John chapter 4, God is love. By this we know that God loves us, because he sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin. So God loves us, and because God loves us, then we are to love him. That should be our automatic response to his love in our life, is to love him back because of what he has done for us, what he has shown us, the blessing that he has brought into our life in Jesus Christ, giving us everything that we need pertaining to life and godliness. We respond back in love, and then in that communion that we have with him, that intimacy that we have with him, then we begin to realize how his love takes care of us. Our sins have been forgiven. Our iniquities can be wiped away, washed away, our wrong ways of thinking, because in his love is healing. Healing for us, for our hearts, our souls, and our minds, and our bodies. Healing that causes us then to love ourselves. And because we love ourselves, then we can love others. Isn't that what the scripture tells us? Love your neighbor as yourself. So what is our response to God is love? It should be to know and believe, have faith in the love of God. This is the way it says it in 1 John 4:16. And we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. So, know, have a knowledge, an intimate knowledge of the love of God. Know and believe it. Have faith in it. Trust it. That his love will allow us, as we partner with him, to overcome everything in our life, because we know that perfect love, for one thing, casts out all fear. We don't need to fear anything because he loves us, and we can trust him. He will protect us. He will take care of everything, from our physical bodies to our emotions to our relationships to our finances. He has provided everything for us. We do not need to fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. Romans 8:32 tells us that in Christ Jesus, that he, God, spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Look at the way that his love is shown there. He will give us all things freely. Freely he gives us all things. In Ephesians chapter 3, he tells us to be rooted and grounded in love. Ephesians 3 says that Christ may dwell in your heart. This is his prayer for the Ephesian church and for us as well. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. Rooted and grounded in love. So that love has taken root. It's another way of saying know and believe the love of God. His love has taken root in our lives. We need to understand his love. Verse 18, and may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, length, depth, and height. In other words, to be able to have an understanding of all the aspects of God's love. Going on to verse 19, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. I kind of see it this way. His love is like an ocean. A vast ocean, a vast body of water. And we get to dip in and take a piece of that. And to know it, and to know that in that piece of God's love, in that little bit of God's love, we have all the love of God that we need. It's beyond comprehension. But you know, it is so true though. And it should give such a peace and a joy to our soul that you may know the love of God in Christ Jesus. Going on to verse 19. Or end of verse 19, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Being rooted and grounded in His love helps us to know Him better and to have Him in the fullness of our life, because Christ is dwelling in our hearts. And if God is love, then that means Jesus, the anointed one, and His anointing is love also. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. For the last few months, Penny and I have been studying 1 John. And we have just, we've just had some amazing times as we've just gone over the Word and read it and looked at it in different versions and talked about it and looked at different verses in 1 John. You know, 1 John is a really good book if you want to know what is expected of us. Because there, he keeps telling us over and over again, herein is love. Here's how you know the love of God. Here's how you know that you're in Him, that you love your brother. So there's a lot of tests in there. And I wanted to have us look at a couple of those in 1 John. Particularly in chapter 2. Now look at this. I mean, this is really amazing. Heavy words that he said, starting in verse 3. And hereby do we know that we know Him. Boy, that should prick up your ears. This is how you know that you know Him, that you have an intimate relationship with Him, if we keep His commandments. Wow. That should really test your understanding of who God is and the intimacy that you have with Him. Let's go on to verse 4. He that saith, I know Him, and keeps not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Wow. Heavy stuff. Verse 5. But whoso keepeth His word, now look at this next phrase, in him verily is the love of God perfected. See, here's another way of knowing whether the love of God is perfected in you. That you have a desire to do nothing but to keep His word. To do His commandments. To follow Him. And it's done out of love because He has loved us. Verse 6, he that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also to walk even as He walked. Now, if we go to verse 29, we can kind of get a little better picture of that. He says, if you know that He, talking about Jesus, if you know that He is righteous, know ye not that everyone that does righteousness is born of Him. So these are some tests that you can apply against yourself. If you know the love of God, if you're perfected in His love, you're going to keep the Word of God. And of course, John also says in the book of John, "He who loves me," just not reporting what Jesus said, "He who loves me keeps my commandments." Well, the reason we love Him is because we are responding to the love that He has shown to us in sending Jesus, in blessing our lives. Galatians chapter 5, verse 6 tells us that faith, remember we're talking about faith, that faith works, that is, it's made effectual. It has energy behind it. We looked a few weeks ago at that Greek word that's used there, energo, energy. So faith works by love. See, faith by itself does not have the energy. It's potential power, but it's not the kinetic power that we talked about before. It's not power in action that works. What empowers faith is love. God's love for us and our love for Him empowers and gives action to that faith. So, a foundation for having faith in God is knowing that He loves us, that He is on our side, that He has planned everything for us, that we are the apple of His eye. And when we understand that, then we don't get distracted by the things in the Word maybe we don't understand. We don't get distracted by the circumstances around us, by the way that we feel, by the input that comes into our five senses. Because, you know, it's like, wait a second, this is contrary to God's love. Something's not right here. And we can get back on track. We can get back on course. The love of God. Now, the Word of God gives us structure for our faith. It's good to know that God loves us. It's important to know that God loves us. But His Word then takes that love and puts it into practical things that we can rely on. And it is important that we understand that when God said something, He meant it. When God spoke, He was not someone that could lie. And we can take His Word as truth. It comes out of His love that He has told us these things. And we can take the Word of God and we can put the full weight of our being on it. We can stake our life on the Word of God. I've done it. And many other people have done it. People in the Word of God did that. And when they did it, Jesus said, "Your faith has made you well," because they were putting their full weight on what they knew at that time about Jesus. They didn't have the Word, the New Testament, like we have, but I'm thinking specifically the woman with the issue of blood. She had heard about Jesus. She had heard what He was able to do. She had heard about others being healed. And she said, "If He can do it to others, for others, He can do it for me." And she went after it. Risked her life as a woman out in the street with an issue of blood. Standing next to the ruler of the synagogue, Jairus, who could have demanded her to be stoned right there and then because she was violating God's commandment. So she put her life on the line, standing on what she knew at that point of the Word of God. His Word will not return to Him void. It will be done. The Word tells us in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. Hearing the Word of God. So it's based on the Word of God. That's why it is so important that we are in the Word of God. Let me give you a very important fact about Christianity and about how to be victorious. Renew your mind by the Word of God. You've got to stay in the Word of God. Keep the Word of God foremost in your mind. Here's why. Because the Word of God creates a parameter, it limits our, let's put it this way, faith is limited by what we know from the Word of God. And it needs to become a revelation. That word needs to become a revelation for us. It becomes a revelation for us as we spend time in it. As we spend time thinking about the scripture that says that we have been healed by the stripes of Jesus and the numerous other ones that talk about his healing. If it doesn't become a revelation for us, it's hard to trust God. One man put it this way, it's impossible to believe God for something you are unsure that God has provided. Someone may have heard, I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. But until it becomes a revelation to them, it's hard to trust in that yourself. But once you know, once the Word of God has gotten down on the inside of you and you know that you know that you know that you have been healed by the stripes of Jesus, boy, I tell you, once you come to that point, then you can stand on the Word and you will see the effectual working of His Word. See, in Mark 11:24, when Jesus said, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them. See, that's the, and of course in verse 23, which verse 24 is based on, he says, do not doubt in your heart. So, believing that you receive is not doubting in your heart. You've believed, you've prayed, you know what God's Word says, you're convinced of it, and you will have the things that you have prayed for. You shall have them. They shall be yours. So you need to study to show yourself approved of God. The renewed mind is what begins the transformation. We just talked about that. Hebrews 11:1 tells us that faith requires hope. All of us should be familiar with this definition of faith found in Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hoped for. Where does that hope for, that confident expectation? That's what the word in the Greek means, confident expectation. Doesn't mean, gee, I hope so. You know, a hoping and a wishing. It's not that kind of hope. But what it's based on is the Word of God. You hear the Word of God, it causes hope, an expectation. And the substance of that expectation is your faith. You said, you know what? This is what God's Word says. I know it's true. I'm going to latch on to it by faith and believe what God has said. We latch onto it by our faith. There are things, though, that come against that. And so there are hindrances that we need to be aware of and to deal with. Because the Scripture tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. That is a very important Scripture. We walk by faith. Three times in the New Testament, this quote from the Old Testament is made. The just shall live by faith. The just shall conduct the affairs of his life by faith. The just shall conduct the conversation of his life, the words that he uses, the actions that he does, by faith. The just shall live by faith. Three times we're told that in the New Testament. The just shall live by faith, which means that we're not living by sight. We're not living by what we see around us. We're not living by the what we see in the five senses, what thoughts are jangling around in our minds, or what emotions we may be feeling. These are not the things that we walk by. Those are walking by sight. That is another way of saying we're walking in carnality, in the carnal things. I'm not talking about, you know, grossly sinful things when I use the word carnality. I'm talking about simply living by our five senses, what you can see and hear and feel and smell. That is not the way that we need to conduct our life. We don't conduct our life by the circumstances that we see around us. Well, circumstances don't seem to be lining up to my prayer. It must not be working. That is not walking by faith. That is walking by sight. So, you know, I was looking at this this morning based on Romans chapter 8, where it says there, starting in verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, and they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, and to be spiritually minded is life and peace. See, that's what we're talking about. If you are living your life by what you see, by your experiences, by what you've experienced before, by the way you've always done it, if you live your life by the thoughts and the emotions and the things that are coming into your five senses and make your decisions based on that, then you are living carnally. And it says those who live and are carnally minded, the end of that is death. But to be spiritually minded, to be living by faith, living by the Word of God, living by what God has said, living by the love of God, then you are going to be having life, the life of God and peace. Verse 7, we're in Romans chapter 8, verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's at war against God. It's in opposition to God. For the carnal mind is against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So if you're just living your life based on the things that you see and feel and experience, then you are an enemy of God. You set yourself up in as an enemy, and it's very difficult in that sense to be subject to the law of God. In other words, to be walking by the Word of God. It says, well, the Word of God says I'm healed, but the doctor, my body, the pain I feel in my body, what the way people tell me I look, I mean, what am I supposed to believe? Right? What people are saying, what I feel, what I see, or by what the Word says. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18, he tells us that we are to be living in the unseen and not the seen. I'm going to start in verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Well, how do you look at the things that are not seen? I mean, how do you look at them? Well, see, we just got the answer in Romans. You look at them through the Spirit. You look at them by being spiritually minded, not at looking at them based on the natural. So the and then what happens is, going on in verse 18, for the things which are seen are temporal. They're just temporary. But the things which are not seen, they are eternal. Which means that the things which are not seen, which we're looking at in the Spirit, will overcome and override those things that we see in the natural, if we allow that to happen. But see, if we keep opening the door up to the natural things, you know, a lot of people do this when they get healed, right? They come up in a healing line, or they've been doing their affirmations, and the symptoms all go. And say, oh, praise the Lord, healing has come. Well, first of all, one of the things that's wrong with that is, at the moment that they prayed, they should have been saying, thank you, Jesus, healing has come. So anyway, so they go off, and they're feeling really good. And then 2 or 3 days later, they feel a little twinge of that symptom. It's like, oh, I guess it didn't work. Because what are they doing? They're looking at things by sight instead of looking at it by faith. They don't realize what's happening is the evil one is coming back and saying, well, you know, 3 days ago, you believed it, or the person that was praying for you believed it, and I took off, but now I'm coming back to see if you really believe it. Do you really believe that you've been healed? Well, let's try this little pain and see what you think. And so the reaction to it should be, no, via Sarah. No, in the name of Jesus, I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. So, Satan, you take your lies and you get out of here. Amen. Amen. We do not walk by sight, but by faith. There was a man who had started getting a little sore on his chest. And it started growing and getting pussy and stuff. So he decided, I better go to the doctor. I know what this is. And the doctors just, you know, started telling him all these bad things that were going to happen. It was some form of cancer that was starting. And he got so upset and frustrated and angry at the doctors and scared that he just stopped going back to the doctors. Well, this thing kept growing. He knew that God was his, could heal him, but he was, you know, kind of believing as best he could. And so this thing got bigger and bigger to the point where it was like about this big. So what he actually ended up doing was buying a bra and cutting off one side, and he would wear it to hold this thing. And every day he and his wife had to clean it and that kind of stuff. And it kept getting worse and worse. He said, I know God is my healer. I know God is my healer. He didn't want to go back to the doctors. And he got the revelation that his healing had already been paid for. And as he began meditating on that, it just grew and grew in him. And finally he said, you know what? Praise the Lord, I have been healed. But if he were then to look down at this growth, he could easily have said, but, and start looking at the circumstances. But no, he chose to believe. He said, that's it. I'm healed. I'm healed. He was so excited that he got that revelation. And it took about 6 months. But by end of 6 months, that thing had dried up, had fallen off. He was perfectly healed because he finally got it on the inside. He was now looking through the eye of faith. He was seeing in the Spirit. He was seeing things from the spiritual, not from the natural. And what happened? Life came. Peace came. And he was healed. Similar story. A woman had a challenge with her eyesight, wore these big, thick glasses, but even then, they didn't hardly help at all. And so the church that she was attending, of which she was also the pastor's wife, a healing evangelist was coming to that church. And she knew, just like all the rest of them, they're going to want to pray for me. So she kept trying to avoid him. And so finally, on the last night of the crusade, he finally cornered her. And he says, I want to pray for you. The reason she didn't want to get prayed for is because she had been prayed for so many times and nothing had happened. She was discouraged. So he says, I want to pray for you. So he made her take her glasses off. He says, now close your eyes. And he prayed the prayer of faith over her. And then he says, okay, can you see? And she started opening her eyes. He said, close your eyes. I don't want you to open your eyes. And she's thinking, how am I going to see if I can't open my eyes? And so he said, okay, now can you see? And she again started opening her eyes. Said, no, no, don't open your eyes. I said, what is he doing? And so then he said again, can you see? And she started opening her eyes. I said, no, don't open your eyes. I won't want you to see in the natural. I want you to see from your heart that you have been healed. And she got it. She thought, ah. And so she began to pray in tongues. And after a little while, she said, I got it. I got it. I can see. And he said, now open your eyes. And she opened her eyes and she could see. 2020. See, she had to get it on the inside. She kept trying to walk by sight, but she learned how to see it on the inside, to walk by faith. So we don't let our circumstances dictate to us what is true about God's word. We don't let fear tell us what's true about God's word or what we should be doing as we're following God's word. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. So reject fear. And again, the love of God, we understand and have a revelation of God's love for us, then there is no fear because perfect love casts out fear. The other thing about fear is fear can put you in the wrong place at the wrong time. Because part of fear is you are looking at the circumstances or thinking about, well, what would happen if? And so you stop doing things that you should be doing or you do things that you shouldn't do. Well, I tell you, the one thing in these last days is you don't want to end up in the wrong place at the wrong time because of fear. Because you're going by fear. Psalm 91, 5 through 8 says, we shall not fear do not be afraid of, there it is, terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that wastes at noonday. For 1,000 shall fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come nigh me. And we shall only behold and see the destruction of the wicked. You know what? We, in order to be in that place, dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, so that we are not afraid, it puts us in a place where we can hear God and be obedient to Him, to not go there. To go there, well, but I need to go there because if I don't go there, I'm not going to be able to get any food. And if I don't get any food, then I'm going to, you know. And so fear can take us into places where we don't need to be. And then there are other sins. I kind of separated sin or fear out from these other sins, but other things like rejection, offense, unforgiveness. They open the door to the attack of the evil one in our lives, and we move out of the kingdom of God. And it puts us in a place. See, any time that you are looking to these things instead of walking by faith, you are walking by sight. Oh, that person said something to me. It offended me. Well, you're now walking by sight instead of by faith, because our response to that should be, well, wait a second. God loves me. Doesn't matter what they think about me. Doesn't matter what they said about me. It doesn't matter what they did to me. God loves me. So what? You know, and we respond with love to them. And then because of that, then we can forgive them. We can go on and not have it be a part of our life. I like what one man said. He says, I don't rent no place in my heart for anybody. In other words, it doesn't matter if somebody offends you or says something that you don't like. Don't give them a place in your heart. Don't give them a place in your mind that you're going to allow that to take the peace and the joy of God away from you. Our thoughts can take us outside of the will of God. Our thoughts are those fiery darts that get us thinking in the natural. Our emotions is another place. We get stirred up. We get frustrated. We get angry. And that will take us into places that we do not need to go. Jesus bore the emotions that bring a lack of peace in our life. That's what it tells us in Isaiah 53. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. In other words, the things that bring a lack of peace to our lives, he bore. They were born on him. And so we can take all those emotional things, those stresses, those feelings, we can take it to him. The word tells us in Ephesians to put aside anger and wrath and malice and evil speaking, strife, jealousy, all these things, but put on love. Forgive, be forgiving to one another, it goes on in verse 32 of Ephesians 4. And also James 3:16 tells us to not be in strife, to not have jealousy towards one another. The words that we speak can take us into places where we are saying the things that we're thinking. We're saying the things that we're feeling. And instead of relying on what God's word has said for our lives. So don't speak what you have. That's one of the ways that we really tend to walk by sight, is we speak what we have. I have a pain. I have anxiety. I have depression. Whatever it might be. I have no money in my bank account. We speak the things that we have instead of what we want, because the scripture tells us to call those things that be not as though they were. We need to be speaking what we want, not what we have. Another place that gets us oftentimes out of that faith, that distracts us in our faith, is our experience. The word tells us in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 that we are to not lean on our own understanding. Trust him, trust the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. See, we need to trust him. We need to acknowledge him, to lean not on our own understanding. Just because we've done the same thing 100 times doesn't mean that we should do it that way the next time. We always need to be asking God, because if we're just going by our experience, we're walking by sight. But by asking him, we're walking by faith. Now, he may tell you, go ahead and do it the same way. But I've had experiences where I started to do something, especially like on my computer, I started to do something that I've, copy and paste or whatever it does, I've done 100 times, and the Lord just gave me a check. No, don't do that this time. And found out that there was something going on that if I had done it, I would have lost the work that I did. Because I wasn't paying attention or whatever it was, and I did something incorrectly, and I was ready to delete it instead of cut and paste it like I wanted to. And then, of course, wrong teaching can also cause us to walk by sight. And I'm particularly thinking here of this whole grace teaching that can get us thinking that if we just do whatever we want to do, God still loves us and he's going to take care of everything and we can do whatever we want to do. That is another way of walking by sight instead of by faith. So we want to have a faith that stays the course, that's founded on the love of God, that's the word of God gives structure to it and understanding to it. We stand on it, walking by faith and not by sight. Don't let anything take you off of what the Word of God says. learn to walk by faith, not by sight. Learn to walk in the spirit and not in the carnal way of doing things in the fleshly way. But we want the life and the peace that comes, because in these last days, walking by faith is going to become more and more important. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.